Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
All right, guys, welcome back. I think we got everything worked out. Hopefully, it's the audio's coming out good. Hopefully, you can see me okay, and it's all working in place. I just was mentioning some things that are happening, that's currently happening with the Most High team here and the Most High Show. I talked about Rule 62, which is all about recovery and fun, you know what I mean? We got Costa and Darren are great hosts of that. We have another platform called Clean Dreams, I believe, which comes out like later on towards the evening. I'm not sure the actual broadcasting times of those, our podcasting times. Also, I think 7 o'clock on Fridays. Oh, and we also have Recovery Rundown, which is the dopest thing that we got going on right now with all like the cool technical background and all that. It's like a real news show. I love that. James is killing it on that. He's like a Tom Brokaw type dude whenever he's doing that. It's pretty awesome. Like I said before about the app, like if you download the app, we have documentaries. We have, you know, going through the each step of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have things about spirituality and your faith. And we have all these types of things all focused on ending the stigma about recovery, about, you know, hope, about strength, and, you know, about, you know, like this battle against addiction, man, a battle against this crazy disease that, you know, we all have, man, everybody on this show, all the participants, you know, we're all addicts trying to get it right, trying to be productive, trying to be helpful to our brothers and sisters out there that are also in recovery or who might, more importantly, who might be suffering from addiction right now. You know, family members, moms, you know, if you have a loved one that's going through something like this, man, download the app, listen to what we got to say. You know, we're just going to try our best to be helpful. But one thing I want to add before we get the show started, okay? This, the Most High, is a nonprofit organization, all right? And right now, you know, in this day and time, there's so many outlets to be able to participate in giving and helping to so many different causes. And, you know, and I'm not placing any judgment or anything on any other cause that's happening or any other cause that people are donating to right now. But what I can say is if you want to, if you are in the position to help and you want to help, and addiction and helping people recover from addiction. If you're into that, if that's something that means something to you, if addiction has affected your life in any way at all, and you want to be helpful and you donate to this podcast and you donate to the Most High, you will, by my most sincere words, every penny that you send will be spent on fighting the stigma. It will be spent on us gathering information, us expressing stories, us trying to figure out ways to be helpful to others and ourselves in recovery and fighting addiction, man. It is hardcore out there, man. I just was watching this show actually, and it said between 2010 and 2020, 500,000 people have died because of addiction, man. And we can only depend on ourselves to be able to battle it and to be able to heal and be able to help each other. So anyways, that being said, without further ado, so check this out, right? I used to be in places that were like, you know, institutions, you know what I mean? And when you're in them places, when you're in jails and institutions, man, you come across really cool people from time to time. You know what I mean? Guys that you end up growing a respect for over a time period after you get to know them a little bit. And this guy right here, my man Dave Johnson, he is actually from, I might as well say my hometown of PA. And I never knew him from the streets, but I did know him from those types of institutions, man. And he was a guy that always carried his own. He got respect from people in places that, you know, they don't like to give out too much respect. So always, we became good acquaintances there. you know, and as time went by, we ended up following each other on social media platforms, and I got to keep in very loose contact. However, we haven't spoken. We spoke for a couple minutes just a little bit earlier, but before that, we haven't really spoken to each other, I don't think, since, like, what do you think, Dave, like 2000, 98, 99, something like that? Long time, right?
Early 2000s.
So anyways, man, I want you to guys give my man Dave Johnson a welcome. This is Dave right here. We're going to be speaking about recovery and how it affected his life. So welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Not too bad. I'm actually sitting at work right now.
Yeah, I know, man. So we did get a chance to speak earlier. He said he had to run into the job that he works at and put a bunk bed together, man. And that bunk bed is going to be a bed for somebody who is going to be hopefully in recovery soon. Yeah, the bed's going to be filled pretty soon. Dave, why don't you tell them a little bit about where you come from? Why don't you tell them a little bit about where you come from and a little bit of your story, just to start us off, all right?
All right, I can do that. 39, was born, like you said, in PA.
Yeah.
Grew up a little rough. I mean, mostly by choice.
Right.
I mean, I can't really blame my parents. I did that long enough, and actually started getting in trouble, I'd say, around 10 years old. Been in multiple institutions, multiple rehabs.
When you say trouble at 10 years old, are you saying like trouble with like the actual law, or just being like bad around the house? Like at that age, how does trouble start? With the law.
With the law.
Okay.
Actually ended up catching a auto theft charge at 10 years old.
At 10 years old?
Yeah.
Did you have like blocks on your feet to like push the gas and the brake pedals, man?
Is that a short joke?
No. But then anybody at 10 years old at that time, it'd be tough to just get behind the wheel and take off, man. That's wild, man. So anyways, you got in a little bit of trouble starting at 10 years old, right?
Yeah. Started the basics though when it comes to my addiction. First time I drank, I was probably about 11. Got caught a friend of my parents' house, stealing beers, drinking them. Of course, graduated to everything else.
Right.
Main thing was marijuana to start with.
Yeah.
Had my older cousin introduce me to that, actually before I went to school, which I don't remember too much of that experience.
Right.
Like you said, I met you, would have been in Franklin County.
Yeah. That's in Pennsylvania, and, by the way, you guys.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So now I know one thing that's for sure is the reason why you stayed on my mind is because, you know, not only that we met in basically like in the yard pit in the county, is that we've seen each other multiple times in there. So from that, I can assume that like addiction and things of that and that lifestyle has affected you in that way for many years, right? And you repeatedly were getting in trouble and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
Right. And so when did your life, when did you hit a bottom? When did you decide to make a huge change? Not to fast forward too much further. When did you attempt to? Yeah.
I actually celebrated a year yesterday.
Congratulations, my brother. I did know that. I saw that on the Facebook. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean,
man. That's awesome.
I had about 9.5, 10 months, roughly. Ended up going up to take care of my kids. I was living in a sober house before that.
Okay.
My ex-wife ended up getting into some trouble. And while I was up there, I mean, I started smoking. I drank a couple times.
Right.
Which I can honestly see what they mean by a head full of AA doesn't work.
Yeah.
But
no, why don't you explain? Why don't you explain to the people what that means?
Basically, I went through a lot of the steps. Unfortunately, I stopped on step four. But it was the basic knowledge of how to live right. And I was going completely against those morals that I started redeveloping.
Yeah. Did you feel like it was because you just started like slacking in general, like not being structured? Did you feel like you weren't doing just not doing like you wasn't up on it like you were when you first started? Is that how that happened?
No, I definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
A whole different how do I say it? Set of events settled in real quick.
Right.
With having to figure out, because I didn't have my license at the time either.
Right.
And I moved an hour away to make sure they were taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we had set in motion, like, fell apart from the door.
Yeah. That's hard. That's hardcore too, because you get this enthusiasm to, like, you know, everything starts going a certain way and you start getting plans, you know, you start making plans in your head and you're seeing things start to manifest. But whenever an obstacle comes that like kicks everything that you were doing and throws it way off whack, that kind of like leaves you, in like a big time state of confusion, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah. And it, you know, it takes that support, you know, this is just my opinion. It takes that support that you really got to link to in sobriety. You know, when you're in the meetings and you have a sponsor and you have, you know, a home group and you have people that you can speak freely to and you hear things from people speaking freely back to you, that like it kind of allows you to have tools, meaning when those obstacles come and you have got to be prepared, because if there's one thing for certain, those obstacles are coming, no, regardless of how far you are in your recovery, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah,
I actually get asked that a lot.
Can you hear me?
Due to working in the recovery field and everything, a lot of our clients and stuff will ask, does life really get better when you get clean? And
right.
I mean, I break it down to them. I'm pretty straightforward with things. And I tell them, I said, it's not even that life itself gets better. I said, because you're still going to have all the same stuff. You're going to have deaths in the family.
Yeah.
Relationships that don't work.
Right.
One of my biggest flaws, putting expectations on people. Which guaranteed you're always going to be let down no matter what.
Without a doubt. That's good.
But the part I explained to them is, it's not that it gets better. It's you learn how to cope and deal with things in a positive manner.
Right.
And I mean, I go through things from time to time where I'll have my anger and everything else flare up.
Right.
But it's admitting when I'm wrong and correcting.
Accountability, honesty, humbleness, humility, all those things, right? But let me back up just a minute. So you were saying that you had some sober time in, right? But you kind of started falling off a little bit, and then you started falling off a little bit, and then the circumstances, your life circumstances, got flipped kind of like upside down, right?
They did.
So then it led you, and then you relapsed. Am I assuming that? Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so. Because the people don't know what you're doing right now. So you went through a period of time again where you're using again, and then what happened so tell me what happened next after you're using for a while. What happens?
I ended up catching a paraphernalia charge When I left the house up here.
Okay. You weren't sober living, right?
No, I was actually at home.
Oh, okay.
I went up to deal with everything with the kids while she was away taking care of everything she needed to for a month.
Okay.
And when she came back, because, I mean, I did a lot of things wrong in that whole month time frame. I mean, and I understood where she came from with everything as well.
Right.
Because we basically survived off her tax money and everything up there.
Yeah, I get it.
And I mean, even with just smoking weed, I still use some of that money for reasons that I shouldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You was kind of like living reckless regardless.
I was.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah, I was doing like here and there odd jobs for like roofing companies that people I knew owned. And I mean, granted, we did make it through the month, but a lot of the stuff I did, I'm definitely not proud of.
Yeah.
And when she actually came home that day, she was pissed. She was.
Yeah.
You figure she come home, tax money's gone. I mean, I managed to pay some of the bills up. I let a lot of stuff go, though.
Right.
And she had called the local police up in Mount Holly Springs in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Because along with that, the one Jeep a friend of hers had, and she had found spoons and syringes and stuff like that.
Ooh.
So she was concerned.
Without a doubt.
And I mean, I couldn't be mad at her, my track record.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
But
that's it. That's a shockwave to somebody.
The pipes for smoking weed in the bathroom.
Okay. I get it.
So I ended up being incarcerated in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania for a day, Franklin County for 2 days. And for once, I actually sat back and reached out for help.
Okay,
which
now
is something that's hard for me to do.
Right.
I'm used to being on my own.
Right, right. You are, from what I've known of you, you are an introverted character. You know what I mean? You're not outward, like not too overly outwardly expressive, and definitely not somebody that I see, you know, just openly saying, "Hey, man, you know, help me out. You know, I'm messed up right now. I need some help." You know what I mean? So that's big time brave. I mean, that's big time brave for you to make a decision like that, which is like, that's a courageous thing for people, man, because while you're asking for help, when you're openly asking for help and you are in addiction, right? That's a very courageous move, because the reason why you're asking for help is something that, you know, could really, really messes with your, you know, your pride. It really messes with like who you are, you know, who you want yourself to be perceived to be. You know what I mean? So that's a courageous thing that you did. But who did you actually, what was your reaching out process? Well, who did you reach out to for help?
Actually, it's a sober house that they opened up in Chambersburg. Noah's house.
Right.
I reached out to the owner as well as the guy that runs it.
Is that Brad?
No, it's actually Toby Ditch and John Lloyd.
Oh, okay. I got you.
And I mean, I was surprised. They actually basically came to the rescue with me. Even though I had left on not so good terms.
Right.
Due to the fact of her being incarcerated, it was pretty much like split second decision to go up there and everything. But yeah, I definitely owe a lot to them. I really do.
So what did that process look like? You went to did you go live in the sober living environment from jail?
Yes, I did. I was actually there up until October of last year.
Okay.
Actually relocated to a sober house here in Hagerstown, Maryland.
And that's where you're living in Maryland now, right?
Yes.
Cool. So let's get
acclimated before I just like jumped into things down here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good choice too. The situation was good.
Right. No doubt. I dig it. Yeah. It can be a rough place to be around when you're doing the wrong things too.
It definitely was.
Yeah. Maryland ain't no joke either. But anyway, so let's get to the present, okay? Why don't you tell the people, so you've been clean. Yesterday is a year for you of sobriety, right?
Yes, it is.
Within that year time. So why don't you tell the people what you are doing right now, okay, as far as employment and how you're living your life right now. What's happening with Dave?
Actually, I've been working in a treatment facility in Hagerstown, Maryland, as a behavioral health tech now for about 6 months.
Congratulations, man.
Awakenings Recovery Center. It's been open since March of last year, so it's definitely a new facility.
Cool. Yeah, because I never heard of it. Whenever you said that, it sounded familiar, but it didn't really ring any bells. Like I couldn't picture the rehab in my mind, and I was pretty familiar with some of the institutions that are some of the rehabilitative places up that way.
Yeah, so. It's actually part of Amethyst.
Okay, got you liking it out there.
Facilities all up and down the East Coast.
You liking it out there?
I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
From moving from a Commonwealth to down area, it's a little different.
Right. I mean, do you like how they're doing recovery at the place that you're working?
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly say I do.
Good.
Like That's with important. Any new place though, like
yeah.
growing pains, it gets frustrating sometimes.
Oh yeah. That's understandable. You know, I'm kind of like in a new situation right now along the same lines. And, you know, there's all those, you know, learning and seeing how people might do things a little bit differently than what you picture in your head, like what recovery would look like or how to handle it or how to deal with people, like in a group setting and a one-on-one setting and all that kind of stuff. But I just think, man, I just love hearing stories about guys and girls that have been through addiction, that have changed their life so much so that they are actually employed and their career is to help others that might be in the same situation as them. Does that make sense to you? So hearing that you are working at a rehabilitative center is at a rehab, man, that just means the world to me. And I just want to like, thank you and like, congratulate you for being where you were at in life and to where you are presently, you know? And I'm sure that it took all the tools, you know, all those things that are necessary to get you in that place. You know, it took meetings, it took sober living, it took the steps, you know, it took following the steps, it takes getting a sponsor, it takes all those things that people at times, when there's, especially when you're enthusiastic about not doing drugs or not getting high anymore and all that kind of stuff, it's easy to sidetrack all those things. When you start feeling good, it's probably kind of like what happened to you at the relapse before this time. You know, you think you got it, or maybe life's getting a little rough and those tools weren't really applying to like your negative situation at the time. But, those steps are important. Support groups are so important, man. Having a sponsor is so important. Understanding, you know, getting a grip of your spirituality is so important, because this disease is so serious, man, that if you are not fully prepared, that's most likely that you are going to fall, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, if there's anything I can say, and I think Dave's a testament to it, and we're going to segue into like one of the topics that I really wanted to speak about that I can't wait to talk about is the importance of following the program, the importance of like getting with a network of people that know what you're going through, that could give you advice, that can be there when you're down, that you can hear stories and you can be there for them when they're down. You know, that interaction is like crucial for long term and for recovery in general. You know what I mean? So one thing we did talk to each other a little bit, and you did, like, you know, and this is one thing that the Most High Show hasn't really spoken about, I don't think, as far as I know, is like some of the symbolism that has to do. And we're going to explain, Dave's going to explain a little bit of that to us. We wanted to talk about the triangle of Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? It's like a symbol, and it's a triangle that's in a circle. And there's three words in the triangle, which is, I can't think of it right now. It's service, unity, is what is it, Dave? I'm missing the word. It's service, unity, and is it recovery? And recovery?
Nope.
Service? Nope. Service, unity.
I'm going to make you think on this one.
Oh, my goodness, because I just can't think of the... Man, you're going to have to let me in. My mind's drawing a blank right now. I can't believe it. Fill me in, dude.
It's the fellowship part, man.
Hello. Hello. All right. So,
the part we're actually doing right now.
Yeah. So, hold on a second. My bad. Are you still with me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. So, those words are draped around. I should have brought a picture so I could show the viewers. Those words are draped around like they are the answers to the things that you suffer in addiction, you know. And it's around a triangle, and a triangle is kind of like a symbol for like sturdiness, you know what I mean? And it's inside of a circle, which, well, Dave, you know what? Let me, you go ahead and spit out what that triangle and circle means to you.
Yeah, the main reason I picked that is a lot of the stuff I struggle with, like we were just talking with, the asking for help, and I mean, not always being the most positive person or wanting to do things. It's a part I've grown a lot in.
Yeah.
Just about everybody I speak to anymore is in either one or both programs.
Right.
Actually working with two different sponsors right now. I have my one back in Chambersburg area in PA, and then I have one down here in Hagerstown, Maryland.
That's great, man.
Yeah, I wanted to get a fresh overview on the steps, working with somebody else that's been through them. It's been a struggle down here because I left my entire network pretty much up in PA.
Yeah.
But the fellowship.
But it's not that far away. So you can get where you're at in Maryland. It's not that far away from your hometown in PA. So you can kind of keep in pretty good contact with the old people that you networked with. Is that how it's going, is it different?
I mean, after I fix one area of my life that's still unmanageable, yeah. I still have yet to get my license back.
Oh, okay. No, I get it. No, I dig it. It's all a process, but, brother. It's all a process, man. You'll get there.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
But the part I do like is any fellowship you go to,
right?
You always feel more than welcome.
That is very true, man. And I do agree with that 100%. I mean, even if it's big or small, there is a level of acceptance and intimacy. You know, if you take this, sometimes you might have to be a little bit more proactive when you enter the room. You know, sometimes it's kind of overbearing, but there are people in the rooms that sincerely care about your welfare, man. It's all about that. And, you know, there's not too many affiliations, period, across the board that has to do with anything that offer that kind of like sincere fellowship, that sincere unity, you know? So that is a great thing about NA and AA that I do appreciate deeply.
I definitely do as well. I mean, I can honestly say there's people that I can say I don't like, but I still have love for them. Due to
yeah. That's growth. That's big time growth, man. That's a spiritual growth too, man. You know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily like somebody. They might pluck your nerves, but you are like big enough and humble enough to like have a sincere love for that person and care regardless of their, you know, what they're going through. You know what I mean? That's huge, Dave. I like that, man.
It is. And I mean, the main part of the triangle where I've seen growth in myself is the service one. Like, for instance, just when you hit me up about doing a podcast.
Right.
Never even thought about doing one before. And as soon as you asked me, I was like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, man. I saw you, you know. Right. I saw you changing up, man. I saw you becoming more focused because just like through social media, even though we didn't communicate too much directly with each other, I saw, you know, like through little snippets that you were going through a really rough time, you know, for a minute. And then I saw that kind of turn on its good side. And I seen, you know, I saw through like your posts and stuff like that, what was getting you on, what was like pushing you forward in a productive way. And that's why I thought that you would be a good guest here and you, that you would explain, you know, those things like from your heart. Now, as far as service could be, you know, as far as like being part of NA or AA, that could be like, you know, as small as setting up the chairs, man, right? Getting the coffee ready. Yeah, man. You know, it's big and little at the same time, but those things mean so much because it gets the meeting ready, right? For people to fellowship. You know what I mean? And all those things, they do work together, and it is you know, the way that it was, when you do it right and everybody is, you know, doing their service and doing that part of it, it's, you're calling for a great beginning to people being able to share their lives and share their feelings and, you know, share, you know, their hurt and their pain or their joy in recovery or accomplishments. You know, it's such a, what I love about the meetings is that there's such a wide range of things that you get like burst into. Like, you know, there's people that are really down and there's people that are like celebrating their biggest accomplishments all within like this, you know, this hour, 2 hour period, man. Like, you see so much and you can take in so much and you can give out so much at the same time. So I'm glad that servicing is a big part where you're growing at. What part of the triangle do you think you have to work more harder at?
I'd have to say the fellowship.
Right.
Because, I mean, I see myself slacking from time to time.
Yeah.
I do work a lot of hours normally.
Right.
I mean, the past couple of weeks has been the set 40-hour weeks. And then this 2-week pay period, I got quite a bit of overtime in.
Yeah.
But the main thing is just staying connected.
I couldn't agree with you more, man. That is so important.
That is honestly the biggest part of my relapse.
Was lost touch.
Not picking up the phone. I had the numbers, and I didn't reach out. So that's definitely the main part I got to stress this time, is staying connected. If something's wrong or if something's going good, just picking up the phone. Like, anymore to even make a decision, I usually bounce it off at least 3 people in my network before I decide on anything.
That's working. That's working the steps right there, dude. I appreciate that. And that's great advice to put out there on this podcast, and people need to hear that. That's awesome. So that's how you usually handle like your decisions and stuff like that, or whatever you're going
Most
through?
Most definitely, because even at a year, my thinking is still not where it should be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you figure I'm almost 40 years old, living a certain way for that period of time. It's rough trying to turn around and do the right thing.
Change is hard, bro. And that's why, again, like, that's why, that's why those tools are so important, man. Because changing from being so one way for so long, and then making an honest attempt to sincerely change go the total opposite direction. You know what I'm saying? To think that you can do it by yourself without like the suggested tools or the network of people that are going to be able to like, that can help guide you. To think that you can do that. That's anybody out there. If you think that you can do that yourself, you're going to be in for a tough ride, man. And that's the truth. You know,
I mean, I was always told the alcoholic that sponsors himself is a fool.
Say that again.
The alcoholic that sponsors his own self is a fool.
You're absolutely right, boy. And those are some wise, wise words, brother. But listen, Dave, we're kind of pushing this over, man. This is my man, Dave Johnson. He is from PA. He is a tech at a rehab right now, life of addiction. Now he's living a life of recovery. Congratulations on 1 year, my friend, man. I'm definitely going to be keeping in better contact with you. I'm really happy with how you're living your life right now. I know you got some kids out there. I know you're a father, and I know how important being a father is to you right now, man. And I just want to say, man, keep it up. You're doing a great job. If you ever want to rap, you can hit me up on, you know how to hit me up. You know how to get in contact with me. And man, thank you so much for being here. I know it was like hard. We've been waiting for a while to get you on. It was the scheduling and, you know, just all those things that happen in life, man. So I feel it's a blessing to have somebody from my town, somebody that I know personally, to be able to share a story of recovery with, man. Thank you so much, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely enjoyed the opportunity, for sure.
Oh, it most likely won't be the last one. We'll get with you at a different day too, man, to follow up with you and stuff like that to make sure everything is going great and you can do the same with us. Everybody out there, Facebook land, people, watch the Most High Show. We are for recovery. We are about ending the stigma, all right? We love you guys. Peace. Later, Dave.
All right, brother. Love you, man.